I appreciate our brother Byron leading us in those songs about witnessing to the world about the crucified Savior, the one who loved and gave his life for us. I am excited to be with you all. I hope you all have your Bibles open to 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 14 through 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. You know, I'm excited to share God's word with you because we need it. It's something that we cannot live without. We need to hear what the Lord has to say. And so in honor of his word, I would ask that you stand for the reading of his word of 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verses 14 through 26. Where Timothy says, "Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. And their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will." Thank you for standing. You may be seated. A couple of weeks back, we looked at the book of 1 Timothy, and I preached a sermon, "A Charge I Have." And if you remember in that sermon, I mentioned how one of Timothy's charges was to stay away from error. And as we know, that is not an easy thing. That is a very hard task. And so what Paul reminded Timothy was that in his ministry, he needed to remember that what he had been given was a gift from God. Because if Timothy remembered that his ministry was a gift from God, it was going to help him deal with those conflicts and those difficult tasks that lay ahead for his future. And that would help Timothy to be successful. But if you fast forward to 2 Timothy, Paul continues that charge throughout this letter. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 1, you have Timothy being charged to guard the gospel. In other words, hold on to it. Don't let it go. It's yours. And it needs to be guarded. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul encourages Timothy, he charges him to suffer for the gospel. And that's what he does from the beginning and the end of the book of 2 Timothy. He tells him, "Suffer hardship with me. Do not be ashamed. Suffer because Jesus suffered for us, and we suffer for others so that they might receive salvation." But then, and as we know, suffering sometimes keeps you from wanting to do the will of the Lord. And so Paul reminded Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 to continue in the gospel. In other words, be faithful to it. When times get hard, don't run, don't quit, continue in the gospel. And continuing in the gospel meant preaching the word, doing that in season and out of season. And so 2 Timothy 4 is about Timothy being charged to preach the gospel. And so as you can see, with respect to guarding the gospel, suffering for it, continuing in it, and sharing it, this is a hard task. And you know what? We're called to do the very same thing. We're called to suffer for the gospel. We're called to share it. We're called to be faithful to it, and we're called to guard it. And so if we're going to be successful, then we need godly motivation. And that's where we come to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, where Paul gives us that godly motivation. And in this text, and this really drives us to the heart of this text, Paul uses an analogy. He talks about a large house, and there is a master in this house, and that master has vessels that are honorable and some that are dishonorable. He has vessels that are useful, and he has vessels that are useless. And so the question that I want to put before you is, what vessel are you? Are you a useful vessel, or are you a useless vessel? Useless vessel. I believe as disciples of Jesus, we all want to be useful to the Lord rather than useless. And so what Paul is going to do here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, is he's going to tell us what a useful vessel looks like. And so the first point that he gives, and as you saw earlier, a useful vessel seeks to please God. If you notice in verse 15, he tells Timothy, be diligent to present yourself. Notice, approved to God. And so, in other words, Timothy is to do everything that he can in his service to God to be found pleasing to him. And I want to make the application for us. Is that our aim? Is our aim to please God in all that we do? I recently came across an illustration that I want to share with you that might help us see this more clearly. In your service to God, and when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, can you, with the work that God has given you, stand beside God and say, God, this is what I've given you, and have the Lord put his arm around you and say, well done, good servant. I am pleased with the work that you have done. Enter into the joy of your rest. That's a beautiful illustration to help us see that we are to strive to please the Lord in all that we do. And at the end, when all is said and done, we want the Lord to be, to find us faithful in that. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, therefore, we make it our ambition to be found pleasing to him. Some versions say we make it our aim to be found pleasing to the Lord. And so that's what we know, that a useful vessel seeks to please God in all that they do. Now, that's a positive encouragement, a positive motivation to please the Lord. But Paul gives Timothy a negative motivation, and that is, seek to please God because some are not trying to please the Lord. And those people would be, as we saw in the text in verse 16, it would be people like Hymenaeus and Philetus. Now, the thing about these men is that they have left the truth, as the text says. And as a result of them leaving the truth, they have made other believers also leave the truth. And so as we see that Timothy is not only to please God from a positive standpoint, but he is also to see the era in which people live, and that is to also motivate him to seek to please God. Why? Well, because Timothy, he is supposed to be helping a local church walk with God. And if he is following what others are doing, he is not going to be helpful in his task. And so if he is to be a useful vessel, he is to seek to please the Lord because there are others who are not. And what Paul does, and I want to get practical, is he gives us some practical ways that we are to please God. And that's what he tells Timothy. And so if you see in verse 15, Timothy, in order to please God, he is to be diligent to present himself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. And here it is, he is to accurately handle the word of truth. In other words, Timothy is to be faithful in keeping God's word. That is one way that he will be successful, that he will be a useful vessel to the Lord. In other words, if he is going to accurately handle the word of truth, there are no shortcuts. There is no tampering with the word of God. There is no trying to make God's word fit people's desires. Why? Because Timothy is not there to please people. He is there to please the Lord. And by doing that, he needs to be faithful to God's word. But notice also, verse 15, it has a lot in there. It says that he is to be diligent in doing this. In other words, it's not going to be an easy task. And we know that. Being faithful to God, word, as our brother Byron said this morning, or doing God's word just as he said it, even though it may not agree with us, even though it may be contrary to what we believe or contrary to popular demand, we know it's not easy keeping God's word. And so it's going to take some work. We have to be diligent in doing this. And that would mean that Timothy is going to have to avoid some things if he is going to give good diligence. Notice verse 16, he is going to have to avoid worldly and empty chatter. Verse 23, he is going to have to avoid foolish and ignorant speculations. knowing they produce quarrels. Why? Because they lead to further ungodliness. They do not promote faith. They do not promote godliness in people. In fact, what Paul uses an illustration of, as his idea how this stuff spreads, he says, it's like gangrene. Now, I made the mistake of going online and looking up what gangrene looks like, and I would probably caution you not to do that. But if you know what it looks like, or if you know what gangrene is, it's some disease that infects, that starts in one area, and then it spreads and infects the entire body unless it is removed. And so we get that illustration, and that illustration helps us see how faithful we need to be to God's word so that, as the text says, we can please him. And so that is what a useful vessel is. It is someone who seeks to please God by being faithful to his word. And I want to say a word about those who profess to be disciples of Christ, but they are not faithful to his word. You know, through the centuries, people have brought their own ideas and interpretations to God's word. And as a result of that, they have corrupted the ways of God. But you know what? To the extent that we are not concerned about what some preacher says or what some religious organization says, but we only care about what the word of the Lord says and what he says I'm going to do, then we also will be found pleasing to him, and we will also be being faithful to his word. And so if you're here this morning and you visited with us in the past or you've never visited here before, we really try to follow God's word, be faithful to his word in all we believe and practice. And if you have any questions about how we do things, we only want you to know what God's word says, because we want you to follow that so that you can please God by being faithful to his word. Well, that's what Timothy, or one of the motivations Timothy is to remember if he is going to be useful to the Lord and us as well. But Paul gives a second motivation. And this one is, you have to understand this, because it's easy to have the ambitions to seek to please God, but we got to make sure that we follow through with that. And so Paul reminds Timothy, a useful vessel not only seeks to please God, but he makes sure that he does not live for the world, that he is cleansed from worldly living, that he lives for Christ and not the culture. And so notice verse 21, and this is again driving us to the heart of our text. He says, therefore, and he's expounding on verse 19, or verse 19 and 20, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things. Now, if you go to verse 20, you're going to see that those things are going to be those dishonorable vessels. Now, Paul does not tell us what those dishonorable vessels are, but we know what the things that don't make for godly living are. We know the things that the world offers us on the silver platter that God says reject. And so whatever you know that's in your life that is not pleasing to the Lord, Paul is reminding Timothy, and he is reminding us to remove those things. You look at this idea in verse 20 of this large house, and how it has many vessels. You have your gold vessels that are honorable and they're useful, and then you have your vessels of earthenware that are not honorable and useful. And in our terms, we can look at it as your fine china against your dishes from IKEA. You know, with your fine china, you wouldn't dare put that nowhere near your IKEA furniture or your IKEA dishes or anything like that. You're going to use those for honorable purposes. As far as I know, you probably won't ever use them. They're just there. They're sanctified. They're set apart. And so in the same way, Paul's purpose of using this analogy is that we are vessels in the Lord's kingdom, and we are called to cleanse ourselves from worldliness, and we are called to be sanctified, set apart for God and only him. But in order to do that, it's going to take some work. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. And so Paul gives us some more practical ways that we are to make sure that we are not living like the world. And the first is, he says to Timothy in verse 22, he says, flee from youthful lust. Now, if you recognize that word flee, what does that bring you back to in your Old Testament? It's in the book of Genesis. It ought to bring you back to Joseph. Remember in Genesis chapter 39, when he was approached with some temptation, what did he do? Well, he fled, literally. He ran. He got out of there, and he didn't go back for anything that he left. And so, in other words, God is calling us to flee whatever those temptations are. And you can say, well, that doesn't apply to me because I'm not actually in that situation. Well, we have various lusts. We have various temptations that come to mind. And so we are to flee those things in our mind. As the psalmist says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. And so that's one way that we are to flee youthful lust. And so after Paul says flee youthful lust, he then backs it up and he says, when you flee something, when you remove the bad out of your life, you got to put some good in it. And so he reminds Timothy to pursue godly living. I want you to see this for yourself. Notice verse 22. Now flee from youthful lust. That's the negative. Here's the positive. And pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. You see that once I remove the bad out of my life, I have to replace it with some good. And that kind of reminds you of that concept in Colossians 3, where Paul says, put off the old and put on the new. And he also says, make sure you do that with good and godly people as well, with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Because so often, our relationships, who we hang around, will determine the direction, the path in which we go. And so we want to make sure that we are choosing people who are right for our faith, because that is what's going to help us stay cleansed from the world. And then Paul gives a third practical motivation. After he says you remove the worldliness from your life and you pursue godly living, he says in verse 24, remember what I have here. Remember who you represent. He says, Timothy, you are the Lord's bondservant. And the Lord's bondservant is to have the character of Christ, that he is not to act out in such a way that is going to bring harm to the cause of Christ. And we sing a song, Remember Who You Are. And in that song, there's a verse that our brother Byron is going to do the honor in leading us in verse 3 of that song. And so,
let your light be bright and ever true. Live so others will see Christ in you.
I'm sorry, I'm supposed to click. In your life a sermon sinner see what the Christian life is meant to be. Christian, remember who you are today as you follow him along the way. Though the way seems dark and the journey far, strength comes when you remember who you are. Well, that happens. You know, you just forget to click. That's why I don't lead song. But anyway, thank you, brother, for leading us in that song. And I really appreciate those words and love those words. The idea, in your life, a sermon sinner see what the Christian life is meant to be. You know, Wesley Pollard, something he told me I'll never forget. He said, Donald, you will be the only Bible some people read. And that has stuck with me. And how that helps me is it helps me to live in such a way that I try to honor Christ in all that I do. Because somebody's always watching you. And you want to make sure that you don't forget whose, as he said, whose you are. Don't remember who you represent. And that is, you are the Lord's servant. And so thank you, brother, for leading us in that song. Now, all of this, of course, isn't an easy thing. And so I want to leave this truth with us. And this is a wake-up call for believers and also for people who are not saved. And so I have up here, I haven't read it yet, I saved it for the end, where Paul tells Timothy, nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Now, the reason I want us to hold on to this is because this is what Paul gives Timothy. And he quotes this idea, the Lord knows those who are his, from Numbers chapter 16. And if you go to Numbers chapter 16, you see the rebellion of Korah, that God had ordained Moses to be the lawgiver. He was the one in control. And Korah decided one day that he was going to usurp God's authority, that he was going to take over, that he wanted the power, he wanted the control. And so as a result, God told Moses, I want you to step back because I'm about to swallow Korah and his entire family up. And that is exactly what happened. The earth opened and swallowed up Korah and his entire family. Now here is the point. Korah was among the people of God. He was one of the priests, however, because of his greed and his desire for control, he was not following the Lord fully. And one of the points that I take from this and that I want us to take from this is that, brothers and sisters, we come to a church building that says Church of Christ. We hear the same songs. We partake of the Lord's Supper. We hear the same message preached every Sunday. And oftentimes, we do not go away unchanged. And what we need to remember out of all of this is that we might think we're doing the will of the Lord, but God knows those who are His. And let that be a positive encouragement, but also let that wake you up in times when you are not seeking to please God and when you are not cleansed from your worldliness. That if you confess Jesus as Christ, it's not enough to just do it with your mouth, but you have to do it with your life on a consistent basis, or else it means absolutely nothing. Now, this is also a wake-up call for those who are not in Christ, because God knows who you are. And if you are not right with Him, then that will not be good for you when the Lord Jesus returns. However, you have the opportunity. You have heard the great news of Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins and that He is coming back to just the living and the dead. And I want you to be saved. Jesus wants you to be saved. But you have to make that choice yourself. And so if it is your desire to be useful to the Lord, then we ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.